Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh of Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So the scripture tells us clearly that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Prayer is good. Worship is good. And fellowship is good. And all those subjects are important, and we should do them and know them. But faith, without that, it is impossible to please God. Amen. And our main objective in life is to be obedient to the word of God and be faithful unto the word of God. Amen. Now, we found out that faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. Faith is the key that moves the hand of the Almighty. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. And faith is that which pleases God. Amen. And we must know and understand this. The topic of our teaching is we must know the reality of God's word. And the subtitle, The Six Principles of Attaining Strong Faith. Amen. Now, we're going to look at the six principles, and let me read them to you so we can have an understanding of the basic principles that we're dealing with in this particular subject. The first principle is this. We must know and understand the reality of God's word. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And principle number six, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. And, you know, I said we must know and understand because how many of you know that you can know something, but you don't necessarily have to understand it? So we want to know and understand the reality of God's word. Amen. Now, shall we look at what the word of God says about us? We must understand when we read these particular scriptures, we are showing you what God's opinion of you is, how he sees you. We don't care what man thinks about you. We're only concerned about what God thinks about you. Amen. So if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're looking at our third principle that we're dealing with, and that is we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. We must know and understand the reality of the new creation. So if you found 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the scripture tells us that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Another translation says that you are a new species. You've never existed before. You are a brand new species if you are in Christ. When it says old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. You must understand all things refer to all things in the spirit realm, not all things in the natural realm. Repeat that. When it says old things have been passed away, behold, all things have become new. You must understand all things in this verse refers to all things in the spirit realm and not all things in the natural realm. In other words, not all things in the body are new. Amen. You are the same as you always were in the flesh. If you become a born-again Christian and you were bald-headed when you received Christ, well, guess what? You're going to be bald-headed after you receive Christ. Amen? That is why you are still tempted in certain areas. That's the reason you can still yield to temptation. Your body is the same as it always has been. It has not been redeemed yet. The Bible says that we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Amen. The price for the redemption of our bodies has been paid, but physically it hasn't happened yet. When Jesus comes back, our bodies will be changed and made like unto his glorious body. If we are asleep or dead, and our bodies are in the grave, our bodies will be resurrected and made like his glorious body. Your spirit man is the new creature. It's not your body that's new, but your spirit man. You are a new creature in the spirit, the inner man. The spirit, the inner man, is the man that has to respond to God. Amen? Because God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. God deals with man through his spirit nature. Amen. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have been made new in Christ in the spirit man. I want you to see yourselves as God sees you. That's what is important. Even in the natural realm, it is important. You may work on a job, and I'm sure some of you are still working, and you think you are the world's greatest computer analyst, or if you're working in that field, and you think you should be the lead analyst of the department you work in. In other words, you think you are top dog, but your raises or promotions are not based solely on much of how you see yourself, but on how your boss sees you. You may think you're the greatest analyst, but that doesn't make too much difference. It is what the man who signs the payroll checks and puts in the promotion thinks about you that counts. You need to live in such a way and do your work in such a way that when that man sees you, he can evaluate you and give you the reward that you rightly deserve. Amen? It works the same way in the ways of the Spirit. It isn't too important what you think about me. It isn't too important what I think about you. What really counts is, what does God think about us? What does he think about us? Amen. How does God see you? Your works and all that you do should be done with a single purpose towards pleasing our Heavenly Father. He is the one who has the power to reward you. God is the one who has the power to promote you. And remember this, when God promotes you, man cannot demote you. When man promotes you, man can demote you. Remember that. What counts with God is a new creature. Please go to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read verse number 15. And it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." It doesn't make any difference whether you are circumcised or not circumcised as far as God is concerned. What counts is a new creature. That's what counts with God. A new creature, a new creation. But whether you are circumcised or whether you are not baptized in Jesus' name or baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or whether you baptize at all, it is the new creature that counts with God. If a person is in Christ, the word says that they are a new creature, and that's what counts. Now you ought to do the other things. In other words, you need to be baptized in water. But that is not what saves you. If that's what saves you, all we have to do is to go out and baptize people and they will be saved. That scripture, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. You must begin to see yourself as a new creature on the inside and then govern yourself accordingly. Amen? Remember, principle number three is this. You must know and understand the reality of the new creation. That new creation is a being that has never existed before. You are an original. You are an original. There is no one like you. Now, this is not an idea in your mind, but it is an actual fact. It is a reality. When you understand that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, it can make all the difference between whether you live victoriously or whether you just live on the common ground of mediocrity. All some people are interested in is just to live like it has been always, just to be the same as they were 20 years ago. A case of sirrah, sirrah. What will be, will be. I get disturbed with myself if I can't see growth within myself between last week and this week. I have to see some progress in my life. If I see no change, if I see myself on the same level, I get very disturbed. I have to see some growth. No matter how small that growth may be, it is still growth. And that is progress. I thank God that I know I am growing. My knowledge is growing. My understanding of the word is growing. My sensitivity is growing in the things of God. And I can recognize that. I can also recognize if I am stagnant in my growth. And I make the adjustments to correct it. Amen? I make the adjustments right away and correct that. Now, I have met people since I have been back in Kansas City who confess to be Christians. And they are the same, spiritually speaking, as they were when I met them when I first returned home. There is no change in them. Now listen, if you aren't growing spiritually and you're happy with that, and I guess if the Lord can stand it, so can I. You don't have to stay the same. You can grow and know that you are growing. You can become stronger in faith and become more knowledgeable in the things of God. Amen? You can walk closer to God. In fact, if you keep walking just right, you may do just like Enoch. You may just walk right into glory. Amen. Isn't that be something? Just walk right into glory alive and be there with all the saints, all the patriots. Amen. But you there alive. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing for Enoch. If it happened once, it can happen again, right? Remember, God is not a respecter of people. What he does for one, he will do for another. Enoch walked with God, and he just took off and walked right into glory. Praise the Lord. There was no death. There was no funeral. There was no crying. He just walked right on into glory. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse number 5. We're just talking about Enoch now. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Amen. And was found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hallelujah. He had that testimony before he was taken away. He pleased the Father. And that's what we want to do as Christians. We want to please our Heavenly Father. Accordingly to your faith, it can be done unto you. According to your faith. Now go with me to the book of John chapter 3. Again, that's John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1, 2, 3. Or we're going to discuss verses 1, 2, 3. Because we see in these scriptures the Pharisee Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's coming to Jesus at night, saying to Jesus that we know that you are a teacher from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. But Jesus went straight to the matter and answered Nicodemus, saying, he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the words born again in this verse literally means to be born anew or to be born from above. Amen. And that's what we are. We are born again Christians. Likewise, the word see, S-E, means to come to know or to come to understand about the kingdom of God. It does not mean to visually see it with your natural eyes, like you see a house or a building or a dog, but it means to come to know or understand the kingdom of God. You can't do it until you have been born again or born anew. Let me repeat that. You cannot do it until you have been born again or born anew. Amen? When a person is first born out of his mother's womb, you must understand we are born into sin. We have to be born out of sin, and we have to be born into the body of Christ or into the family of God. We have to be born again spiritually. Hallelujah. God created Adam, and Adam sinned. Adam died spiritually, and because we are his offsprings, we inherited his spiritual dead nature. So, for us to relate to God, we have to be born out of that spiritual dead nature. Let me repeat that. God created Adam, and Adam sinned. Adam died spiritually, and because we are his offsprings, we inherited his spiritual dead nature. So, in order for us to relate to God, we have to be born out of that spiritual dead nature. We have to be born again so that we can be made alive spiritually. Amen. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, except a man be born again, or unless he's born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot come to know it. Amen. Being born again is a spiritual transaction. It has nothing in the world to do with your flesh. It says in the 6th verse of that same chapter, chapter 3, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen. Notice it did not say that which is born of spirit is flesh. It said that which is born of spirit. It did not say that which is born of spirit is so. But it did say that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All flesh can do is reproduce other flesh. And he said that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. What Jesus is saying is the new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit. The flesh remains the same, but it is the spirit that is made anew. The spirit is the one that has been created in Christ Jesus, a new creature, that man on the inside. And it is up to you to do something about that man on the inside, about the flesh or the body. It is necessary that you understand that you are sons of God if you have been born again. Amen. Well, I'm just about through for today's lesson, but please join us next week as we continue our teaching. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.